Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and on this segment, we are going to talk a little bit more about this major transit of Rahu in Pisces and K2 in Virgo, how it's going to influence each of the 12 zodiac signs. And I am going to try to be relatively brief. Sometimes I get to talking and I say a little bit more than I'm hoping to. I did already post about this on Patreon, patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast. I did a segment where I definitely took some time. I believe that the entire segment's an hour. This one may also be around an hour also, but there may be information there that I don't share here and vice versa. So if you are wanting more information, you can always go over to Patreon. And just a reminder before moving forward is that here on Astrology Now podcast, we do use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which of course, right, if you were coming from a Western background, you're like, what are Rahu and Ketu? So in the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, Rahu and Ketu are the karmic shadows of the moon. And so wherever they're placed in our birth chart, this is a pretty big indicator of karma in our birth charts. And as Rahu and Ketu transit, wherever they're transiting for us, karmic matters come up to the surface. And of course, they come up globally as well. And so again, Rahu and Ketu operate as a polarity. They're constantly moving opposite of one another. You'll always see them seven signs apart, and they represent vastly different things. And so Rahu is forward moving karma. It has to represent with things in the future. And Rahu is actually futuristic. It's very futuristic and innovative. It has an ingenious quality to it. People who have strong Rahu energy tend to be, they can certainly be pretty profound creators and inventors, and they move society along in a futuristic way. And Rahu is also a smoke in the mirror effect. It's illusionary. It is something that isn't always quite as it seems. And so between the two nodes, Rahu is representative of material reality. From the Vedic philosophy, from Vedic perspective, material reality is illusionary in nature, because we're here, we see our body and we convince ourselves that we are our body, or we have our job and we convince ourselves that we are our job, or that we are our belongings or our status or our husband or wife, partner, whatever it may be, when all of these facets of reality are ever changing. And so the only real reality that is infinite and unchanging is the spirit soul, which Ketu more so represents. And so Rahu is amazing for giving us material things. It can give us success, fame, opportunities, wealth, beauty, love, romance, etc. But we have to be careful with Rahu so that we don't overly attach ourselves to these things, thinking that this is what brings us happiness or satisfaction, because all these things change and transform and sometimes end in our lifetime. Okay. But they're fun while it lasts. You know, I love a good Rahu transit. I'm not going to say no to having fun or receiving blessings, you know, but it's important not to get caught up in the trap of that illusionary quality of material reality. Okay. So that's a little bit about Rahu. I suppose the less savory sides of Rahu is that it can be manipulative. It can be, you know, knife behind the back kind of energy, smoke in the mirror, right? Something that we can't trust. Confusing, unclear, shadowy. Okay. So K2 is the opposite. K2 separates us from material reality. K2 orients us to the divine. But it can be very intense in that it can, because, you know, we are so prone to getting attached to these material qualities of Rahu. If we separate from them, it hurts. Breakups hurt. Losing people hurts. Having to sell a car may hurt, you know, losing these things that we attach to and appreciate, it hurts when they go, right? Especially if we are overly attached to them or overly identified with them. And so K2, it can liberate us from that attachment. It can liberate us from material reality. And it's also the separator. So it can kind of bring that separation. But K2 is also deep spiritual insight and spiritual awareness. And K2 can also create an unbounded quality. You know, K2 can create this unbounded quality. Some people will hear what K2 does and they'll be like, oh my God, it's going through the seventh house or it's going through the 10th house. I'm going to have the separation. Depending on your chart, it can happen that way. And I've seen people meet soulmates with K2 transiting the seventh. I have so many stories about K2 transiting the seventh and it bringing in past life soulmates, past life connection, people getting married. You know, it can create that unbounded quality too. It's completely dependent upon the individual's birth chart. I've seen K2 transit the 10th house and someone get the job that they were wanting and come in contact with a career that they had been really, you know, hoping for. So K2 can certainly change things. It can certainly separate us from things, but it can also give opportunity. So try not to hear that and let yourself get scared, because I promise you it's not correct. Right? It's just not correct to see that and think that 100% something is going to get separated. And so, and, you know, of the planets, K2 is the only planet that is trying to orient us towards God in the true sense of the word. All of the planets are trying to connect us to the material realm, where K2 tries actively to pull us out. And so these are the karmic nodes. They're constantly in retrograde motion, they move backwards. So we had Rahu and K2 in the signs of Aries and Libra for the last 18 months. And now, according to the True Node system, here at the end of November, Rahu entered the sign of Pisces and K2 entered the sign of Virgo until May of 2025. So this 18-month cycle, it's a big cycle. And the other thing to think about is that wherever the nodes are transiting, this is where the eclipses take place. Right? We only have eclipses because of the karmic nodes. When there are eclipses, there are karmic events. That being said, if you have planets in Pisces, if you have planets in Virgo, you're going to be getting hit by those eclipses in the next 18 months, and there's going to be significance. So it's a big year. It's a big thing to track, karmic stuff. So Pisces is the final sign of the zodiac. And it represents conclusions and closing chapters while opening and beginning new chapters. So this is a time of beginnings and endings. I think that, and the other thing too, is that Pisces is ruled by Jupiter. So there's this idealistic quality. There's a dreamy quality. If you've ever met anyone who has a lot of Piscean energy, they can be idealistic and they can look at the bright side of things, especially Ravati, right? The Vajraputtas can be a little bit more intense, but you know, Ravati especially, but I would just say all of Pisces, they're ruled by Jupiter. So there's this idealism, there's a faith, there's an inspiration. I think so many of us are going to be excited for new journeys and new chapters in our lives, and we may be really lusting after that and moving after it. And I think that a lot of us are going to be having these grand endings of an era, of a chapter of life, and starting something new. So I actually see this as being a pretty exciting time. If you listened to my global predictions, it's pretty intense. You know, like there's definitely some intensity here. And I still think that there's a lot to be excited about as well. Now, Pisces also is spirituality. It's all about spirituality, God consciousness, connecting to the divine. This could be a time where people are absolutely interested in learning more about spirituality and that higher connection. It's also foreign things. Pisces is the 12th sign of the zodiac, which is associated to the 12th house. And so the 12th house is subconscious mind. It's spirituality. It's traveling for spiritual pursuits. It's also foreign land, foreign things. It has to do with losses, right? It's the 12th house that there can be, and with Virgo also, there's a focus on finances and hidden things. You know, if you listened to my global predictions and I was doing the research, we were talking about assassinations and like where things are being discovered and people trying to hide and all this like gross, you know, hidden stuff. Virgo and Pisces being on the 6-12 axis, it's all about enemies and obstacles and hidden enemies and hidden obstacles. So that's something to think about as well. Same thing with spending. I would say during the cycle, something to be mindful of is spending and windfalls of money, for better or for worse, but then also kind of being too idealistic, too idealistic, too dreamy, getting caught up with rose-colored glasses, lusting after things that may not necessarily be attainable. It's important to find that balance, right? Because K2 is going to be in Virgo, and Virgo is grounded and solid and earthy and practical. And so it's going to be a combination in, or it's going to be a balance, I should say, in allowing ourselves to be excited and idealistic and to go after that great new adventure and that great new chapter and create something amazing while also staying practical and rational and reasonable and not getting too swept away by things that may not, you know, be real. And so that, you know, is something to think about here. I do think that Rahu in Pisces is going to be phenomenal for people who are interested in spirituality and spiritual insight. I would just say, I know we talked about this last year, but I would say a continuation, just be mindful of like false teachers, false gurus. We may be drawn to teachers who are who may not be so practical. So just make sure you know where you're learning from and make sure that there's a solid, what's the word that I'm looking for? A solid tradition and a solid lineage. People may also be drawn to things like psychedelic experiences for spirituality, which I was listening to a podcast on this recently. You guys know I don't undervalue any form of healing, but I think that it's really important to practically ground things. Something that Jason Gaddis was saying on one of his podcasts was that we can learn a lot about our integration by how our relationships are changing. And so if we're going to ayahuasca ceremonies, if we're doing psychedelics, and nothing is changing in our life with relationship, then we may not really be integrating the work, right? We know that we are integrating healing when our intimate partnerships are changing, when our friendships are changing, when we're better able to navigate complex relationship with family members. So just kind of think about that, because again, Rahu in Pisces and Virgo have so much to do with health and healing. Virgo is more on like the physical side. I say Pisces has a lot to do with the intangible subconscious side, like how our mind influences our body. Such a powerful time for healing and going deep and personal transformation. And it's just a reminder not to get caught up in healing as being just for ourselves, right? Healing is so that we interact with the world in an appropriate and well-adapted way, right? And I think that a gauge of that is relationship. And y'all know I'm always talking about relationship as a spiritual path and how important relationships are for helping us go deep and discover these deep facets of ourselves. It's not just for us to do, you know, alone on our own. I mean, I guess some yogis will go into a cave and discover things on their own, and that's one path, right? But if you're not, you're in the life of relationship, whether it be intimate, platonic, familial, whatever it may be. And so we can really get a good understanding of how much we're healing based off of how those relationships are going. But, you know, going off of that with health and healing, I do think that this is a profound time. This 18 months is awesome for getting on a health kick, taking care of our physical bodies, eating in a healthy way, making sure that we're getting enough sunlight, enough water, clean air, getting outside, taking part in healthy habits. But Rahu in Pisces, you know, Pisces is really like subconscious and intangible. So energetic work, healing the mental facets of ourselves, going deep, you know, in a way that resonates and makes sense for us. I know for me, I love therapy, but not everybody likes therapy. So finding something that works for us. So K2 in Virgo, you know, the sign of Virgo is health and wellness. It represents service to others. It is a sign that also has to do with debt. The 6-12 axis has to do with, again, like financial matters. It has to do with accumulating wealth, but also debt and loans and things of that nature. And Virgo is an earth sign. It has to do with reality. It's very practical. While Virgo represents health and wellness, it also represents illness and diseases, criticism, perfectionism, things like that. And so with K2 being here, it's really like things from the past. You know, an opportunity to heal things from the past. There could be health things coming up to confront and to heal and to work on, especially for some of the signs that we'll talk about today. But there's also this focus on wealth, finances, maybe debts and loans. I mean, this is on a personal level, but it's also on a global level. A lot of us are in debt. I know the United States is very in debt. This could be something that we're focusing on. And there could be like innovations with health and wellness too, of course. So it's finding this balance between the earthy, steadfast, practical energy, the idealistic, spiritual, intangible qualities, you know, that we might be getting lost in, the Piscean energy. It's a balance between material and spiritual, earth and water. While I'm speaking of earth and water, I just want to say, if you didn't listen to the other podcast, having natural disasters involving earth and water, you know, it's going to be something to watch for the 18 months. It's a big time. So the final thing I want to talk about before hopping into the personal horoscopes is the karma control planets, because wherever Rahu and Ketu are, that is going to indicate where the karma control planets are. So Rahu was in Aries, Ketu was in Libra, Venus and Mars were the karma control planets for the last 18 months. Now, with Rahu in Pisces and Ketu in Virgo, Jupiter and Mercury are the karma control planets. And so where Jupiter and Mercury are is very significant. Right now, Jupiter is in the sign of Aries. It will move into Taurus in spring of 2024. As I record this, Mercury is in Sagittarius, but Mercury moves pretty quickly. We have Mercury retrograde coming up, which is going to be interesting, something to keep an eye on. But in our own birth charts, it's important too. So locating where Jupiter is, locating where Mercury is, assessing the dignity, that is going to have an impact on the transit for you. So, you know, please do keep that in mind. If one of the planets is heavily afflicted, it could bring some, you know, it could bring some things to the surface. If Jupiter or Mercury is in the ninth house, it could bring up matters involving education and teaching and leading and meeting a teacher, spirituality, philosophy. If they're in the eighth house, it could have more of this impact on ups and downs and fluctuations and things that we're focusing on. It could be mental health, could be losses, could be deaths and rebirths, inheritance, gaining money through others, resources, things like that. So just kind of check out your own chart. I just wanted to share that so that you all know what to look for in your own chart, but then also, of course, in transit, because it definitely, I mean, it's going to have a huge influence. So that is a little recap on Rahu and Ketu, a little bit more on a personal level. Let's go ahead and get into the personal horoscopes and how this transit of Rahu and Ketu can influence you all for the next 18 months, beginning with Aries. If you are an Aries moon or an Aries ascendant, Rahu will be transiting your 12th house as Ketu transits the 6th house. So you are definitely one of these individuals where health, wellness, and healing is a huge focus. This is an amazing time for Aries to get healthier, to get on a health kick, to take care of themselves. It's a time to heal the subconscious mind, to heal things from the past, particularly that affect you mentally and emotionally, and of course also tend to your physical body. For Aries, there could be things coming up from the past for you to heal and mend when it comes to the physical body. If there's something that you've been postponing or delaying, it could be a time for you to take care of it. This is also a time for Aries to pay attention to debt, wealth, finances, getting money matters in order. This is a time of overcoming debt. I definitely want you to be mindful. If you're not trying to increase debt in this period of time, then take extra care. With Rahu transiting the 12th, this is amazing for traveling, exploring foreign lands, spiritual pursuits. You may even travel for spiritual purposes during this period of time. There's also an emphasis on sleep and dreams. There could be really interesting prophetic information coming through sleep or subconscious mind, maybe while you're meditating. So keep that in mind as well. The final thing I want to say for Aries is that this is, again, a time to take care of finances and money, being pragmatic with wealth. There could certainly be extra spending, so just kind of have that on your radar. And if you've been wanting to enhance your spirituality, this is a phenomenal time to do so. If you've been wanting to travel, this is a great year. If for whatever reason you're unable to travel in this period of time, you may just be struck with severe wanderlust and maybe even getting that wanderlust out by transcendental meditation or meditative experiences. If you are a Taurus moon or a Taurus ascendant, Rahu is going to be transiting your 11th house and Ketu is going to be transiting your 5th house for the next 18 months. I personally love this transit. I had this transit a few years ago. Of course, it depends on your dasha and what planets you have that are being transited, but I had a blast. Rahu in the 11th can help expand the social circles, the network circles, people who know you. It's a time of making new friends, making new connections, and also getting opportunities through others. This is definitely a time to try to make good impressions on people that you meet. Try to be very mindful of that because you never know who you're coming into contact with. This is also a time of really learning who your friends are. I do want to say with Rahu in the 11th, it could be a time of some friends exiting your life, but it's also an opportunity for new amazing friends to come into your life as well. For Taurus, I see this as being a time where your future is expanding. It may even be changing the trajectory of your life, the path that you thought that you were on. There may be some pretty big transitions and evolutions during this period, and you may decide to take a different path. But if you're doing anything with like being in the spotlight, being well known, if you're thinking about publishing anything, if you're thinking about doing anything in the public sphere, this is a really nice time to do so. I do want to say that the relationship with siblings could be a little bit more challenged in this period. And the relationship with children. If you have children, this could be a period of time where your children are perhaps moving out. It could be a time where your children are needing more independence in some capacity. It could also be a time where if you are pregnant, you may be having a little bit more of a tough pregnancy. So K2 is kind of notorious for that in the fifth. It can make pregnancy experiences just a little bit harder. It's nothing to be afraid of, but it can kind of challenge the pregnancy experience. So just kind of have that in the back of your mind. It may just require a little bit more work. If you don't have children, there may be something that changes in regards to your creative expression, how you create, and also how you enjoy and have fun. The fifth house is about enjoyment, fun, romance, entertainment. With K2 transiting the fifth, you may just not find as much joy in what you used to do. Or it could be that you're working a lot with that Saturn in the 10th. You may not have as much time for fun and enjoyment, but I do want to encourage you to find that work-life balance and take care of that. Also an important time to take care of wealth, finances, and investments. But what I think that Taurus has to be excited about is that this does give an opportunity to create and explore your creative potential. It may even be going back in time to finish something that you started. It could also be a time where you're focusing on education and maybe considering taking a course or a class or something. And with Rahu in the 11th, I mean, Rahu expands and the 11th house is great gains, network circles, friendships, community. It has to do with our hopes and wishes for the future and certificates. If you've been wanting to get certified in something, it's a great time. It's an awesome time to, again, expand those opportunities, to expand your network. And if there's been any changes that you've been wanting to make in terms of the direction that you're going, this could be a great time, and it could be that somebody special gives you that opportunity. And definitely anticipate more friends and community members coming into your orbit. If you are a Gemini moon or a Gemini ascendant, Rahu and K2 will be transiting the 10th and 4th house for the next 18 months. I actually see this as being a very exciting time for Gemini. With Rahu transiting the 10th, this could bring amazing career opportunities and expansion in your professional field. But, you know, Rahu can create a little bit of idealism here in Pisces. It can create some dreaminess. So just make sure that you're staying grounded and practical in your career pursuits and that you don't bite off more than you can chew. But overall, with Rahu in Pisces, this can bring new career opportunities or, again, a change and transition in your career in some way. If you've been thinking about changing your job, this could actually be an opportunity to do so. Definitely changing any business model. If you are running your own business, if you are working for somebody else, maybe changing your title in some way, changing your responsibilities in some way, but you're going to be working a lot. You're going to be staying busy, and I could absolutely see some changes happening here. And there's also going to be quite a focus on making money and creating resources. With K2 transiting the 4th, this is actually a little bit of a difficult time for the mother, depending on the dasha you're in or planets that are being transited. Your mother may be needing more support. Her life may be radically changing in this period. This could also be a time where you are moving. There could be an emphasis on home, land, real estate, property, or vehicles. But something that I was talking about on Patreon is that sometimes the changes aren't necessarily permanent. I ended up buying a house while K2 was transiting the 4th, and as much as I love the house, I'm likely not going to stay there. I think that I'm going to be moving yet again, even though I just bought that house, you know, less than a year ago. So Any changes that are made in this period, it could be that they're not completely permanent. Don't let that scare you. It could be that you buy a house or a car, and then maybe you do renovations. You change it and transform it in some way. But there can absolutely be changes. If moving isn't on the horizon, if getting a new car isn't on the horizon, it could be a time where perhaps you're considering a renovation, a revamp, redecoration in some capacity. And you may also be feeling restless. K2 in the fourth can create a restlessness, maybe even a detachment from your homeland. If you are a Cancer moon or a Cancer rising, Rahu and K2 are transiting the 3-9 axis for the next 18 months. I also love this axis. I really enjoy when the karmic nodes move through the 9th and the 3rd because I love traveling. And when Rahu and K2 transit the 9th and the 3rd, it usually brings about a lot of travel or at least the desire to travel. Now, Rahu in the 9th. So the 9th house is about pilgrimage, traveling for spiritual reasons, foreign lands in general, travel in general, education, learning, taking courses, taking classes. It also represents teachers and the father. With Rahu transiting here, it can bring an emphasis to the life of the father. There could be, he may be needing attention. There could be some bigger changes, some even health related potentially. There could also be an emphasis on teachers. There could be changes in the relationship with the teacher. You could meet a new teacher, but just be careful with the teachers that you're coming in contact with because, again, this transit is a little idealistic and it can be a little ungrounded at times. So just really make sure that you are asking a lot of questions and staying practical with your spiritual pursuits and really just making sure you're getting what you want out of any spiritual experience. And I do see this as being a time where there is a focus on spirituality and spiritual development. The 9th house is also the house of law and order, so please do cross your T's and dot your I's when it comes to legal matters and legal affairs or anything involving the government. Again, with the 9th house having to do with education, this could be a time of wanting to enroll in a course or take a class, and it could also impact teaching. If you are a teacher, this could absolutely expand your opportunity to teach. Now, with K2 transiting the 3rd, this can also bring an emphasis to the relationship with the siblings. When K2 and Rahu are in this axis, again, it brings a lot of movement. There's a restlessness. So if you're wanting to travel, that's great. If you're not, you may find that you're just being called across town or you're constantly having to take little trips. You're just going to be a little bit more busy, particularly when it comes to movement and travel. This is a time where you can connect with passions that you used to really enjoy. So if there was a hobby or something that you found pleasure in historically, this could be a time of resurrecting it and finding joy in it. I also want to say to be mindful with the relationship with your neighbors. There can be more drama here as well. If you are a Leo moon or a Leo ascendant, Rahu and K2 are going to be transiting the 2nd and 8th house for the next 18 months. So the 2-8 axis has a lot to do with wealth, finances, resources, and they have to do with family, resources through other people, connection in some way. And so Rahu in the eighth house is the house of ups and downs, of sudden changes, of metamorphosis, transformation. It's also all about the occult, spirituality, mysticism, magic, metaphysics, yoga. This could be a time where Leo 9 individuals are really being prompted to dive deep into themselves and maybe heal things from the past, heal traumas that they've experienced. It could also be a time of really going deep on an energetic, spiritual level. So if you are a Leo and you've been wanting to learn more about tarot or astrology or mysticism, magic, all these things, this could be an 18 months where you are really going deep. But I do want to emphasize it is the 8th house, so there can be those shifts and changes that take place, and it's an amazing time to take care of yourself mentally with self-help, coaching, therapy, if that's something that you feel called to do. Now, the 8th house does have a lot to do with money, life insurance policies, inheritance, windfalls of cash. It has to do with wealth and finances, and it has to do with wealth and finances through the spouse. It's second from the 7th, which has to do with the spouse's income, so your spouse may be making more money in this time. You may get opportunities through the wealth of a partnership or marriage. And again, it could just be a time of inheriting money and making money through things like contracts or passive income in some way. K2 transiting the 2nd, this does show some sort of change in how you're making money or how you're making income. Definitely places a lot of emphasis on wealth, finances, and money. And the 2nd house has to do with your mouth, your food, dietary changes. K2 in the 2nd, it could mean that you're drawn to dietary changes for spiritual purposes. So you might be fasting, you might be making adjustments to your diet that are spiritually impacted. Or how should I better phrase that? You may be making changes to your diet that are influenced by your religion or spirituality. And keto really does have an association to fasting. But if you're not doing those things, be careful, because keto in the second can mean that we are more drawn to smoking, drinking, eating things that we shouldn't be eating, and it will have a direct impact on our health. With keto in the second, what you eat will absolutely impact your health, so take extra good care of yourself. And the second house also has to do with family. So this could actually be a time where maybe things are coming back from the past to heal with your family, and it could also be a time where dynamics are shifting in the household. There may even be a distance that sets in when it comes to family. So just be mindful of that. Be mindful of your relationships during this period of time, and also how you're communicating. K2 in the second has to do with communication. It's a time where you may be very enchanting. Your words may have a lot of impact. But what you say will absolutely have an impact in the secrets, right? Words that you say, anything that's secretive, it will have an impact on you. So please do be mindful moving through that specifically. If you are a Virgo moon or a Virgo ascendant, Rahu and Ketu are transiting the first and seventh house for the next 18 months. So for Virgo, you know, this is all about your sense of self, your sense of identity, and then also relationships. So when K2 transits the first, there's usually some sort of transformation around how we view ourselves, how we identify. It could also be something physical, like we physically change ourselves. We do a makeover. We cut our hair differently. We shave our beard or our mustache. We choose different clothes. K2 transiting the first can have some sort of impact on the physical body in some way. That being said, it's also a very important time for our Virgonian friends to really take care of our health and wellness. Rahu transiting the seventh puts a big emphasis on relationships and intimacy. There could be a lot of energy being focused on partnerships of all kinds. It could be intimate relationships, but then also business relationships. They could be changing or transforming. If you're single, this could absolutely be a time of meeting somebody new or having some sort of romantic opportunity. If you're in a relationship, this could be a time where there's just a lot of focus on the relationship. Maybe the relationship is changing. Maybe your partner is changing and transforming in some capacity. But, you know, Rahu and K2 transiting the first and seventh usually brings up some karma around relationships and things to work through. So this is a time of healing. If you are a Libra moon or a Libra ascendant, Rahu and K2 are transiting the 6th and 12th house for the next 18 months. So I actually see this being a pretty powerful transit for our Libran friends, because Rahu does very well in the 6th and K2 does very well in the 12th. This is a phenomenal time for diving into spirituality, learning more about religion and philosophy. It's an excellent time for travel, particularly traveling to foreign lands or traveling for spiritual pursuits. This is going to give a deeper clairvoyance, a deeper intuition as well with K2 transiting the 12th. And again, this is an amazing time for healing. Like I said, for Aries, it's like for all of us, it's a time to heal. For Aries and Libra specifically, it's a time to focus on healing, healing our physical body, our mental body, emotional body, really healing ourselves from the inside out. If you're thinking about doing anything with self-help, like coaching or therapy, Reiki, you know, metaphysical healing, this is a phenomenal time to do so. But with that K2 in the 12th, it is going to emphasize your intuition and your connection to less tangible realms. You know, some of you may have some pretty far out spiritual experiences. Great time for meditation, great time to seek out spiritual guidance. With Rahu in the 6th, again, this is a time to focus on health and wellness, really getting your habits in order. I do see you really focusing on wealth and expansion. I think this is going to be a good year for Libra when it comes to relationships and connections that you're making, getting opportunities through other people, and I think that it could also support you financially as well. Definitely try to find a balance between work and life, because if you don't, you may be prone to a little bit of burnout. Now, the 6th-12th axis is also associated to money. So important time for Libra to pay extra close attention to their spending and spending habits. And these are the houses of enemies. So there could be more competition at work that you'll be able to overcome. There could be things from the past coming up for you to heal. Be mindful of scammers or people trying to steal your personal information. This is a big one to be mindful of with Rahu and K2 moving through these houses. But again, this is a great time for work. It's a great time to work through anything you've been postponing or procrastinating on. And Rahu is transiting the sixth, which has to do with pets. Some of you may be thinking about getting a new pet. If you are a Scorpio moon or a Scorpio rising, Rahu and Ketu will be transiting the 5th, 11th axis for the next 18 months. So as I was talking to you about Taurus, I really enjoy this axis. I think that it can be a lot of fun. So for Scorpio, with Rahu transiting the 5th, this is all about fun, creativity, expression, entertainment, romance. It also has to do with education and stock, you know, and speculative business as well, if that's something that you're interested in. So this could definitely be a time where maybe you're really investing energy in learning more about the stock market, wealth and finances in that regard. And this could be a time of a great creative project. If you've been thinking about writing a book or publishing a book or starting a business, starting a YouTube channel, you know, starting an Instagram for something that you love, doing something that you feel really passionate and inspired about, this is a really nice time to move forward with those plans, to maybe even take a leap of faith in regards to those plans. This could also be a pretty romantic time for Scorpio. This is a time to have fun, to enjoy yourself, to get out there. If you haven't been dating, it could be an opportunity for you to have some romance for sure with this transit. And if some of you are thinking about having children, it could absolutely be a time of conception. In Vedic astrology, conception and children are the highest manifestation of creativity. So it could be that you create a child. It could be that you have a creative child. With Ketu transiting the 11th, this could be a time where there are changes in regards to friendships. So this is a time of really learning who your friends are. There can absolutely be things coming up from the past for you to heal with friendships. It could also be a sibling. But you know, there could be some changes here. But the cool thing about K2 transiting the 11th is it can bring friends back from the past, and it can also bring past life friends back. So friends that you had in previous lifetimes, people who you feel like you've known your entire life, could absolutely come back as well. And I also want to say for the sign of Scorpio is that K2 and the 11th can change your hopes and wishes, dreams for the future, your trajectory, where you were going, the path that you were on, maybe in transition. If you are a Sagittarius moon or a Sagittarius ascendant, Rahu and Ketu will be transiting your 4th and 10th axis for the next 18 months. So this is the axis of home, land, real estate, property, vehicles, the mother, and your external life, your relationship to work, professionalism, your career. So with Ketu transiting the 10th, this can absolutely bring changes to your career life. As I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast, this doesn't necessarily mean something bad. Ketu transiting the 10th can absolutely mean a career change and a change in your professional life, but it can also mean getting a really cool opportunity and doing something that maybe you weren't even anticipating doing. K2 is also spirituality, things that are a little bit less conventional. So it could be that maybe you're taking a less conventional approach to work. It could also be that you're taking a more spiritual approach to work. With Rahu transiting the 4th, this could be a time of getting some sort of opportunity or expansion in regards to home, land, real estate, or again, cars. It could be that you're moving. It could be that you're redecorating, reorganizing. You may even feel called to explore foreign places. With Rahu transiting the 4th, you may be thinking about living somewhere far, maybe moving states, maybe even moving somewhere quite far from home. So some of you may be moving abroad. Some of you may be moving states. Some of you may just be doing, you know, the redecorating, or maybe something's coming up with property taxes. You know, there may just be something about your land or about your house that comes up for you to address. But the 4th house also has to do with the mother. So there can be changes with the mother during this period of time, and she may be needing more attention as well. And the final thing that I want to say for Sagittarius with K2 transiting the 10th is just be mindful with government matters. There can be things coming up from the past, but when it comes to anything with like taxes or like it literally any government engagement, just make sure that everything is done properly and thoroughly so that there are no miscommunications. If you are a Capricorn moon or a Capricorn ascendant, Rahu and K2 will be transiting the 3rd 9 axis for the next 18 months. And so I was telling this to Cancer, I actually really enjoy this transit and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Why? Because the 3rd 9 axis has to do with everything that we love. Traveling, spiritual pursuits, it has to do with education and learning. I really like this placement. So with K2 transiting the ninth house, this could show some sort of change or transformation in regards to your religion and spiritual philosophy. It could be a time of exploring something new. It could also be a time where maybe you're coming in contact with new spiritual teachers or new spiritual influences. But with K2 in the ninth, it could show a disconnection with a spiritual teacher. It could show some sort of separation in some way. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. It is a possibility. But you know, K2 loves spirituality and it loves spiritual pursuit. And that's what the ninth house represents. So this could be a very profound time of seeking and connecting to the divine and finding new ways of connection. It could be through meditation, transcendental meditation, yoga, reading spiritual text. But I just see there being like a heightened spirituality. But I do see there being a transition or transformation in how you relate to spirituality in some capacity. The ninth house also has to do with teachers. So I was saying just to be mindful with your relationships with them. And it has to do with the father. So there could be more emphasis placed on the father. He may be needing support. With Rahu transiting the third, this also emphasizes the relationship with the siblings. There could be some sort of change here. The third house has to do with courage and willpower. It also has to do with desires. And so with Rahu transiting the third, this is a great time to remind yourself of what brings you passion, what brings you inspiration, what makes you feel brave, you know? And this could be a time of just feeling ultimately more strong and more secure in yourself. And that strength and that fortitude may help you go after what it is that you love and what it is that you feel passionate about. I think they kind of work symbiotically in that way. And for Capricorn, if you've been thinking about taking a new class or a new course or even teaching something new, this is an excellent time. Again, the 3-9 axis is all about education and learning, and it has to do with travel. So I do see Capricorn being quite busy during this period. I see a lot of travel, a lot of foreign travel potentially. And I just, you know, if you're trying to sit still the next 18 months, I don't necessarily see it working out. I see quite a bit of movement and activity for our Capricorn friends. If you are an Aquarius moon or an Aquarius ascendant, Rahu and K2 are transiting the second and eighth axis for the next 18 months. So this is a pretty big transit for Aquarius. You're also having this transit of Saturn on the ascendant. So I just feel like this is a time for Aquarius to really become independent, you know, really step into themselves in a new way. With Rahu transiting the second, this actually gives a lot of opportunity for wealth, finances, money, building security on your own volition. So this could be a time where maybe you're feeling passionate about feeling more independent in yourself, particularly when it comes to wealth and finances. The second house, again, it's wealth, money, resources. It has to do with family life. It has to do with food. That being said, with Rahu transiting the second, it can bring changes to the family dynamic in some capacity. It could also bring an emphasis to family matters. There could even be some sort of expansion of family in some way. And when it comes to food, just be mindful of what you're eating and consuming. Rahu can tempt us to have things that aren't necessarily good for us. It can also tempt us with addiction. Second house has to do with the mouth. So just kind of proceed with caution. The second house also has to do with how we speak. So remember the weight of your words and really kind of seize the power of your words. Anything with manifestation and verbal manifestation could be really good. There may be some trouble with like teeth or throat during this period. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And you know, the 2-8 axis, again, it has a lot to do with money, which we're going to talk about. So I do see money being a predominant factor here. So with K2 transiting the eighth house has to do with money through others. It has to do with money of our partners or spouses. It also has to do with inheritance or windfalls of money, life insurance policies. It's also, of course, ups and downs, sudden changes. The eighth house is the house of mysticism, magic, spirituality, astrology, tarot, etc. So with K2 transiting the eighth, if you're wanting to learn more about mysticism and magic and astrology and tarot, this is a phenomenal time. It could be a time where you are feeling way more intuitive and clairvoyant. It could be a time of having really mystical experiences, very spiritual experiences through meditation. I would say that K2 in the eighth is a little bit difficult when it comes, like there could be some sort of changes when it comes to our partner's finances. And it could be, again, that we're needing to make more money for ourselves rather than accepting money through others in some way. And there could be some, honestly, with K2 here, there could be money through death or separation, if that's something that you, again, it's not going to happen to every Aquarius. For some of you, that may be something that comes up. So overall, emphasis on wealth and finances, emphasis on spirituality and your spiritual pursuits. And so really for Aquarius, this is a time of stepping into that sense of independence and really focusing on building security for themselves in mind, body, and spirit. If you are a Pisces moon or a Pisces ascendant, Rahu and Ketu will be transiting the first and seventh house for the next 18 months, meaning that there is a special spotlight on the house of yourself and your physical self and identity and your relationships, partnerships, close connections of all kinds. So with Rahu transiting the ascendant or the moon, there is a special focus on you. Now is an amazing time to prioritize yourself, prioritize your dharma, prioritize your mission in life. I do want to say with Rahu on the ascendant, it can affect your physical body. So now is a time to really get healthier. If you've had any health issues, make sure to pay attention to them. If you've had any injuries or, you know, just like pre-existing aches and pains, it could be a great time to get into physical therapy and just be proactive in caring for your physical self. As I mentioned, the first house is a dharma house. So focusing on your dharma, your purpose, prioritizing that. But with K2 transiting the seventh, there is a risk of neglecting really important relationships. So when Rahu is transiting the first house, it does mean that there could be a little bit of maybe selfishness or a need to focus on the self and time focusing on the self. And in that, we may be prone to neglecting our meaningful relationships, rather it be intimate, professional relationships, familial relationships. It's a great time to find a really good balance between the sense of self and prioritizing those relationships that are meaningful to us. Now, with K2 transiting the seventh, if you are single, I have seen so many times K2 transiting the seventh bringing past life lovers back into life. It could bring in kind of a soulmate relationship. You wouldn't expect it, but I've experienced it myself and I've seen it multiple times. And it's really no secret if you're a Vedic astrologer, if you practice Vedic astrology, K2 transiting the seventh can bring back these types of relationships. It can also spur big changes in relationship, transition, spirituality in relationships, maybe even marriage or deepening the relationship in some way. The other things to watch out for is that K2 transiting the seventh can bring back past life, or not past life, it can bring back past life lovers, but can also bring back people from the past. And so I've seen it work out to where people come back from the past and you try a relationship again. More often than not, I see people coming back from the past so that we can tie up loose strings and kind of create good karmic energy with that person. You know, significant relationships are karmic. And so it's good to be in good standing with people, to have things wrapped up and finished and completed so that we can move forward in a clear karmic way. So if someone comes back from the past, be pretty mindful, try to create some good karma moving forward. And with K2 transiting the seventh, this is the time to heal any latent wounds or traumas or issues that may be keeping you from deeper levels of connection and intimacy. So if there are any traumas that you have, if there has been anything challenging that you've moved through specifically in relationship to relationship, this could be a time of really working through those things. And there could be events that trigger those things, for us to come up to heal. If you've been in a relationship and it's already been rocky, this could be a time where things are tried and tested and that you need to work on the relationship. So I've seen all spectrums of this, but regardless, I think that the words of wisdom for Pisces is to really take care of your physical self, be proactive with your health and wellness, really prioritize your dharma, your sense of self, and your mission while also prioritizing those important relationships. That is where I will leave it for Pisces. I hope that you all found this helpful. I'm not currently offering readings aside from SOS readings. If you want to book an SOS, you can go to innerknowing.yoga. You can find a lot more about me on the website. You can also find a lot for astrology. I have a free chart calculator with playlists available for you to dive into the rabbit hole if you're wanting to learn more about the houses and the signs and the planets. I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast where I do weekly horoscopes, and I have an Instagram, which is astrologynow_podcast. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.